Today's scripture reading is coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from or from others, or from you or from others, when we might have had demands of apostles of Christ, as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. We were all pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also for our own lives, because you had become dear to us.
Good morning, church. It is good to be here with you. Glad to have you in person and see all these beautiful faces this morning. Glad to have all of you online with us. And for those of you who are online, I'd like to offer an invitation. If you live around here, we'd love to see your smiling face. If you're visiting here, we would love to see you come by and shake your hand and get to meet you. We'll save you a place if we know you're coming. Liverpool Church of Christ is a congregation of believers who have decided that discipleship is our most important priority. And we define discipleship as yearning to be more like Christ. And so if you don't have a church home, if you're looking for a church home, if you are in the area, and you're looking for a place to belong and to learn and to serve, then this is a great place to be. So I would encourage you to check it out. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you beautiful mothers. And what I love about mothers is they come in all shapes and sizes and colors and you name it, ages. We have biological moms and stepmoms and adopted moms and foster moms and working home work moms and stay-at-home moms. And just happy Mother's Day. What a great blessing it is. Now, we have a bunch of different moms. We have a bunch of different types of moms. But there's some things that most moms have in common. So if you would just listen for just a minute and see if any of this, especially if you're thinking of your mom, see if any of this might ring true, if you've ever heard any of these. A little birdie told me. Or moms have eyes in the back of their heads. Beds are not made to jump on. They're for sleeping. A little soap and water never hurt anybody. Did you brush your teeth? Did you wash your hands? Did you clean your room? Don't make me come in there. Go play outside. It's way too nice a day to spend it inside. I'll treat you like an adult when you start acting like an adult, right? Yeah, you can finish that for me. Leave your sister alone, or your brother, or the cat, or the dog, or you fill in the blank. Now say you're sorry and mean it. You will eat it and you'll like it. Call me when you get there so I'll know you made it okay. And I'll always love you, no matter what. Moms are special people. And so today we're going to honor our moms, and we're going to honor our moms today by looking at a couple of moms in Scripture. We're going to look at Timothy's mom, Eunice, and Eunice's mother, Lois. And what's interesting is when we look at Eunice and Lois, Scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot about these two women individually, but we can learn a whole lot about Eunice and Lois through Timothy, and we know a great deal more about him. So we're going to learn about these two moms through the legacy that they leave in Timothy. And one of the things I find interesting is that in this message of legacy that these two moms create in Timothy, we also find a message for all of us walking the walk with Christ, knowing our Savior, being someone who is a follower of Christ. And so let's look first of all at what it means to possess a genuine faith. Godly mothers possess a genuine faith. And this comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. It's on the screen, but I'd love to have you open or boot up your Bibles and turn to that if you'd like. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy's a guy who's got a job that a lot of people think he's not young, old enough for. He's too young. He's not old enough. He hasn't matured enough. He's not seasoned well enough. He's still a youngster here. And so Timothy sees himself as something of a mentor. I'm sorry, Paul sees himself as a mentor to Timothy. And so Paul writes to this young minister, and he says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. Some translations say unaffected or unfeigned or genuine. Your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. I mentioned before, we don't know a whole lot about Lois and Eunice. We don't know a lot about them. We know that both women were Hellenistic Jews, which is just a fancy way of saying that they were Jewish by birth and Jewish by faith. But Hellenistic is just a fancy way to say that they're the Greek influence. So they lived in a Greek culture. They lived in a Greek community. They almost certainly spoke Greek and probably had adopted some Greek social customs, some of the customs of the Greek world. And so they lived in a world that, unlike Jerusalem, which is populated not only by people of Jewish descent and Jewish faith, but that's all the influence they have. They lived in a world that had a Hellenistic influence. Both apparently were raised in the Jewish faith and converted to Christianity. Probably somewhere in the latter 40s A.D., when Paul made his mission trip through what's now modern-day Turkey and wound up at a little town called Lystra, and that's where they lived. And so quite possibly, as Paul preached and established a congregation in Lystra, Eunice and Lois were two ladies, two members of that congregation. And Timothy's mother was married to a Greek. That's really about all we know about him. That comes from Acts chapter 16. And probably, I'm going to say he's probably an unbeliever. And the reason why I say that, and we'll build on this a little bit as we go, but he's described as a Greek. He's not as a follower, not as a member. He's never mentioned among the followers or members or taking part in the faith whatsoever. And there's a few other things that kind of clue us into the fact that he is not a believer. But she is married to a Greek. And so as a father who's probably not of the faith. So what can we know about Lois and Eunice? Well, I'm going to suggest that what we can know is that they are serious about their faith. Now, the reason why I say that is when Paul writes to Timothy, he says that the faith that's now living in Timothy, the faith that had its origins in his mother Eunice and grandmother, is sincere. It is unfeigned. It is genuine. And so what he's saying is, you need to understand, Timothy, that the faith that you've got is the real deal. It's not something that somebody made up. It's not some man-made doctrine. It's not some policy. It's not some tradition. It is the real deal. And you know it's the real deal because you know your mother and your grandmother, you know they're the real deal. And so he confirms that they are serious about their faith. And when you look at Lois and Eunice, you look at people and you look at these two and you say their faith is built on a foundation of trust in God. And the reason why I say that is because they live in a culture that's not their own. They live in a culture that's completely different, and yet they still walk the walk. They still talk the talk. They not only talk a good game, but they live it. But they live in a culture that doesn't always abide by that. Greek culture does not, by its very nature, hold up Christian values. And so she lives in a culture that doesn't necessarily value what she values as a Christian. She lives in a culture that doesn't necessarily want to possess what believers need to possess, want and need to possess. Certainly doesn't live in a culture that believes in a one true God, the God that we see in the law of Moses, the old covenant, the God we see in Christ in the new covenant. So she lives in this. They live in this culture that has plenty of things to draw them away, and yet they hold on to that culture. So they live. Their faith is built on the foundation of trust in God. If Dad was an unbeliever, then there's some limitations that Mom had in how she could raise her child, but she trusts in God. They live in a culture that speaks a different language, but they trust in God. They live in a culture that has different values, but they trust in God. And on top of that. On top of that foundation is the commitment to know God's word and the commitment to do God's will. That's what a genuine faith is all about. knowing God, seeking to do the Father's will, seeking to know the Father's word, knowing Christ. It's difficult to live in a different culture. There's some things that you and I struggle with. As I was working on this lesson, I kind of had one of those oops moments. I thought, I'm kind of into this. I've got some time invested in it. And then I thought, well, am I just writing a sermon for people that have moved to a different culture? I mean, is this only applicable for people who've moved here from out of the country, who speak a different language? And I thought, if it is, that's a pretty small group I'm preaching to on Sunday morning for Mother's Day. Maybe I need to rethink this. And then I thought, no. 1 Peter, I think, 3 says that we are aliens and strangers on this earth. So in a very real sense, we all live in a foreign culture. If we're Christians, if we have the genuine, unfeigned, sincere faith, we live in a world that's not ours. I'm going to pick on the Whittlesey's for a minute because they're not going to be around here long for me to pick on, so I'm going to have to get it in while I can. But I was talking with some of the Whittlesey's a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about moving to the St. Louis area. And I said, well, I've visited St. Louis. I've never lived there. I'm originally from Texas. No booze. But I was asking, I said, are you far enough north that they actually pronounce the G's at the end of their words? I mean, do they actually say they're going fishing or hiking or walking? Because here I'm going fishing and hiking and walking. And do they actually, is it too far north to say y'all? It's a contraction of you all. And I was told, yes, in St. Louis, they do pronounce the G's at the end of their words. And no, they don't, as a practice, say y'all. And so basically, the Whittlesey's are moving to a foreign country that speaks a foreign language. And so what do you do when you come to that culture? What do you do when you go to a place that's different? What do you do when people have practices that are different than yours? And we talked in class this morning, or Devin talked in his class this morning, great class, about the believers in Ukraine that we're praying for. The prices who have been kicked out of their country, had to leave their country as refugees because of the war there. Now they're in a foreign, not only are the prices in a foreign land working with the believers there in Ukraine, but now they've gone to another foreign land. So we live in a world that even if we were born and raised in here, and even if you don't pronounce your G's and say y'all, we're still in a foreign land that sometimes speaks foreign language, but certainly is not bound by Christian values and Christian principles. Doesn't hold up, doesn't across the board hold up the one true God as the one true God? And so here we are, and I'm going to suggest to you, moms, and not only just for the moms, but this is, I pray, a sermon for all of us. The single most important possession you and I can own is a genuine faith in Christ. We all come here this morning with our own challenges, our own struggles, our own joys, our own victories. But because we're in the flesh, because we're human, because we are physical people in a physical body living in a physical, broken, fallen world, we all have challenges to our walk with God. We all have struggles in having a genuine faith. We all live in a culture that doesn't always uphold Christian values or Christian morals or encourage us to walk a Christian walk. We live in a culture that sometimes encourages just the opposite. But for every single one of us here, regardless if we're a mom or don't even have any prospects of being a mom, every one of us here benefits. The single most important thing we can have is a genuine faith in God. A faith is built on a foundation of trust. And on top of that is the commitment to know the Word of God and to do the Word of God. Edwin's communion thoughts were exactly that. To walk away from sin and to embrace righteousness, living the right way God defines right. Well, Timothy models that, and Paul reminds him of that, and he reminds him of the source of his faith. So godly mothers possess a genuine faith. The second thing I want to look at this morning is that godly mothers pass down their genuine faith. And this comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Again, Paul writing to the young minister who many people believe is too young for his job. And he says, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of because you know those from who you learned it. And how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I've touched base that it probably wasn't easy for Lois and Eunice to practice their faith. The grandfather is not in the picture, and don't know a thing in the world about grandfather. Don't know if by the time Paul writes to Timothy that grandfather has passed away. Don't know if he's divorced, Lois. Don't really have any idea what the grandfather's all about, but he's not in the picture at all. It's very likely because of that, living in the world that they lived in the culture that they had, a single woman was very vulnerable and it was very difficult to be a single woman on your own in this culture. And so quite likely that she lived with her daughter and her son-in-law. Well, Timothy's father, again, is apparently an unbeliever. And what's interesting, he seems to be willing to let his mother, his wife and his mother-in-law teach his son the scriptures of the Jews, what would become the scriptures, the Old Testament of the Christians. He's willing to let them teach the scriptures because Timothy's known him since his youth, but he wasn't willing to let his son be circumcised. And if you understand the Jewish faith in which Timothy was raised, that's an important part of being a faithful Jew. And so Dad was evidently willing to let his wife and his mother-in-law carry this religious training to a certain extent, but had limitations as to how far he was willing to let them indoctrinate his son into this faith that was theirs. So it wasn't easy for them to practice their faith, and what they were left to do is just the best they could, which really, at the end of the day, that's what we're all left to do, right? The call for God is for you and me to use what he's given us to do the best that we can to be the best people God's called us to be. And so they're not only doing the best they can to live out their faith individually, they're doing the best they can to raise Timothy to be a man of faith. And Eunice, Timothy's mom, starts before he's ever born. She begins to pass down her faith to her son before he's ever born because Timothy means one who fears God. And I'm going to suggest to you that even though in this culture it was the privilege of the father, usually considered the privilege of the father to name his child, his first son, but I'm going to suggest mom had some influence here if the name that was picked was one who fears God. That was mom's desire for her son at conception, much less at birth, and through his whole life. And so clearly mom is beginning to exert an influence from the very get-go of what the kind of child she wants to raise, the kind of legacy she wants to leave. And so she gives him a name that gives word to her hope and her prayer for her son, one who fears God. She continued to pass down her faith, Eunice did, her mom, throughout Timothy's lifetime, because it says in chapter 3, verse 15, what we just read, that she and Timothy's grandmother Lois worked together to teach Timothy the Holy Scriptures from his infancy. And then Eunice and Lois set godly examples for Timothy to follow. Now, I'm not saying they're perfect, because nobody is. I'm not saying that they were saints in the sense of perfection, because nobody is. But I am saying that when Paul wanted to encourage Timothy, Paul's wanting to encourage Timothy to stick to his faith. So what is this mentor in the faith writing to this young person who people were kind of writing off as being too young? What does he do to encourage Timothy to stay true to his faith? What does he do? He points to mom and grandma. And the legitimacy of their faith, he says, because you know from whom you learned it. What he's saying is you need to hold on to your faith because the people you learned it from, they were the genuine deal. They weren't hypocrites. They didn't talk a good game on Sunday and then go live however they wanted to the rest of the week. They didn't say, you need to do what I say, but don't do what I do. They lived it. And so Paul writes to Timothy, he says, if you want to know what looks real, if you want to know what's genuine, if you want to know how this thing really works, look to mom and grandma. Because you know the example that's been set for you through the life. And so with the help of a godly mother and a godly grandmother, Timothy grew up to be a godly man. And I mentioned early on, most of what we know about Lois and Eunice comes from Timothy. So let's just look at that for just a minute. What legacy did they create in this young man? What legacy did they leave the world through this young man? Well, in Acts chapter 16, when Paul needed somebody to give him some help, he chose Timothy. Why? Because the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Moms, does it do your heart good when somebody speaks well of your child? I remember, my mother doesn't have a lot of height and stature, but she's got a lot of energy in praising her kids. And I guarantee you, when we were going to church, if somebody walked by her and said, "Oh, I saw David, he was heading to class," we'd get in the car and she goes, "Sister so-and-so said you were the most well-behaved, most wonderful person she'd ever seen, and she just thinks you're amazing." Well, Paul says, "I need somebody to help me. Who should I get?" And somebody says, "You need to look at this Timothy boy. He's not very old. He's kind of green behind the ears. Wet behind the ears, he's kind of green, but you need to look at him." That's the legacy that they created. Later, Paul selected Timothy to work for the church in Ephesus. So there's an older established congregation that needs a minister. And Paul says, "Timothy, why don't you go take that job? I know you're not old enough for a lot of them to take you seriously, but if you'll behave the way Christians are supposed to behave, if you do what mom and grandma did, you'll earn their respect." And several times throughout Paul's writings, he refers to Timothy as, number one, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, a true son in the faith. A son in the faith, someone who evidently Paul might have preached the gospel to and converted, and Paul sees him as someone growing up to become a true, faithful Christian, a son in the faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he's described as one who's faithful in the Lord. In Philippians 2, verse 22, he's described as someone who's proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Paul says, man, this guy's proven himself. He not only comes highly recommended, he's proven himself. And so the legacy that these two moms create in this one young man live on. In fact, it lives on to today, because here we are more than 2,000 years later, and who are we talking about? Mom and grandma. Moms, and again for the rest of us here as well, the most important legacy we can leave behind is a genuine faith in Christ. Now the challenge here is that none of us can force anyone else to possess a genuine faith in Christ. God has given every individual the right and the ability to make their own choices, to choose to believe, to choose not to believe. And so you can be the best parent ever, and you might have kids that may not choose to be believers. The only people I know of on earth who've ever had perfect parents, and this is not to be despairing for any parent whatsoever, but Adam and Eve, the only ones with a perfect parent, and both of them messed up. So there's no guarantee, but the promise is that if we lay the groundwork, if we set the example, if we live the genuine faith, and if we seek to pass down the genuine faith, then that's the best chance we're ever going to have of a legacy like Timothy. We don't have any guarantees, but the best we can do for ourselves, and even if we're not a parent, even if we don't even have the prospect of being a parent, even if we don't want to be a parent, even if we're grandparents, no matter where we are, the best thing we can do for ourselves and the best thing we can do for the people that we love is to possess a genuine faith and to try to pass it down to those that we care about. And the good news is it's never too early to start, and it's never too late to start. It's never too early. It's never too late. It doesn't matter if someone's 4 months old or 40 years old. We can begin passing down our love for the Lord and creating the legacy. So happy Mother's Day, moms. We celebrate you, and we celebrate the godly legacy that you leave. Mark read for us just a minute ago out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it's Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, and Paul's trying to help them understand his relationship with them. Paul has the authority to crack the whip. Happy Mother's Day. I remember my mother would say, David, would you go clean your room? And I'd say, no. And she goes, well, that really wasn't a question. That wasn't a request. So Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he says, you know, I could come to you and say, this isn't a request. But he says, I didn't do that. I came to you lovingly. I came to you lovingly and gently. And what does he use for a model of loving and gently? We were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. I didn't come with a big stick. I came with a big love. Like mom for her kids. And what does that look like? He says in verse 8. He says exactly what that looked like. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. Moms, thank you for sharing your lives with us. And thank you for sharing the gospel with us. May God bless each and every one of you here. Moms, may God bless you as you continue to be a mom. And for those whose moms have gone to heaven, we bless the legacy that they leave in you. The real question in the bottom of the line, do you know Jesus? I said earlier that all of us come with certain baggage. We all come with some heartache. We all come with some joys. We all come with some struggles. But the real question is, do you know Jesus? Because he's willing to help carry the burden. He's willing to help struggle the struggle. He's willing to help make us through the day that we might be the legacy that passes on the legacy to the next generation and to the next. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. That's our invitation to you who are here personally. If we can serve you in any way, won't you tell us how? If you're ready to give your life to Christ, then we'll celebrate with the angels. If you want to know what God's word has to say about his plan for your life, we'd love to sit down and study with you. If there's some struggle in your walk that we can walk with you and pray with you, we'd be honored to serve in any way we can. If you're at home, reach out to us, phone, text, message, whatever. Happy Mother's Day, and if we can serve you in any way, won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.